Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. Is your relationship everything you want it to be, or could you use a little help and perhaps some understanding about what you can do now to create that loving relationship you truly desire? Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone. As a licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, I have helped thousands of men and women to sort through their differences and get back to love. My books and courses are all about healing relationships through love. Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, Love, Touch, Heal audio series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-changing lessons in the 30-Day Love Challenge, which will be starting again very soon. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with the creator of the Creator Relationship You Love virtual summit, at which I'm one of the invited speakers. Andrea Chiarella, licensed professional counselor and founder of True Potential Counseling, which provides evidence-based treatment for individuals and couples, has used such techniques as emotional focus therapy for couples, a short-term treatment with 90% reporting significant improvement, and she also uses EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, gestalt therapy, hypnotherapy, addiction counseling, and what is most exciting to me is the live couples retreats that she holds in the U.S. and overseas. So welcome, Andrea Chiarella.
Thank you so much, Erica. It's a delight to be here.
So I'm excited to hear about the summit that's coming up, what you've discovered and what you've heard from people. But before that, a lot more from you. Tell us about your background, education, training, work experience that led you to create True Potential Counseling. Tell us more about that whole process.
Sure. My journey started, I think, when I really knew that I wanted to be a psychotherapist, counselor. I was about 15 years old, and I had witnessed my parents go through a divorce and arguing a lot. And I remember witnessing that and observing a lot of patterns and challenges that they faced. And I often wondered what sort of things could help improve their lives individually and interpersonally, that what sort of skills could they have developed to improve the quality of their life and the quality of their relationship. And so that started me on this journey of really trying to discover what makes a relationship successful, passionate, filled with love and joy and friendship. And I began reading and learning just out of passion and interest. And I met people along the way during my travels when I was living overseas and studying abroad. I would often run into couples that had that special spark in their relationship, and I would often ask them, what are the secrets to making your relationship successful? And some of them had been married for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15, up to 45, 50 years. And some of the common themes that came up were understanding, respect, compassion, friendship, and I just got really inspired and really started planting the seeds of who I wanted to be in partnership and what sort of partner I desired to co-create this with in the future. And also in my studies, and I was got my master's in counseling, and initially my undergrad in political science, because I was interested in interpersonal relationships on the international level. And then I really returned back to this passion of doing one-on-one work as opposed to global shift and global change of improving interpersonal relationships on a global scale and conflict resolution and mediation and peace negotiation, and really taking it from the macro to the micro. And that's when I got my master's degree and just started focusing on helping individuals and couples improve the quality of their lives and the quality of their relationships, so that ultimately that would create a ripple effect in our global society, where there could be more peace and love and harmony and understanding. And so that's really how my journey began and where it's evolved to. And I've been doing this for over 10 years, and I just grow more and more every day, personally, in my relationship, in the work that I do. I'm a lifelong learner, so I continue to integrate a lot of that along the way.
But it's interesting that you said you went from the macro, the global, to the micro, one-on-one, and it seems like you're returning to the global with a love summit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting that you do bring that up, because I think it starts with the one-on-one and really reaching out and giving the global population access to these tools and resources and conversations and techniques that I basically have been collecting since I was a teenager, and making it accessible to everyone will allow everyone to jumpstart their relationship. And so the Create a Relationship You Love Summit, which is at createarelationshipyoulove.com, people can sign up and start growing in their relationship, both with themselves and with their partner.
And what I love that you said is that you were trying to discover who you want to be in a relationship. You didn't feel like it was set a certain way. You realized mm-hmm. that you could create a relationship.
Yes, and the one that I wanted, the one who I wanted to having a mate, and then also becoming that person, being that mm-hmm. person, developing myself so that I could also be that for them, as opposed to coming from a place of lack and somebody else filling that for me. Mm-hmm. I came from a place of being fully whole, which I think is really the key to having a solid foundation in your relationship.
Yes, many people are looking for somebody to do it for them and give to them. So I'm going to get to the first question that I have for you. What are four or whatever number most common mistakes that couples make in their relationships?
Sure. Well, I think one of the biggest one can be criticism. I think sometimes the way that we communicate our needs, we can actually come off as blaming or condescending or critical, not really consciously wanting to go in that direction, but because it's hard for us to maybe communicate what we need, or we don't know, we feel disempowered in some way, so we come on off a little strong because we don't know how to honor our own needs and communicate them in a vulnerable way. So I think criticism can be one. I think two, defensiveness. When we are defensive or try to explain ourselves or prove ourselves, and we come into that space, we're not going to be able to receive or be receptive. So I think those two combinations can bump up against each other, one on the receiving and one on the delivery. So those two aspects. I think another one is this when we shut down and maybe perhaps move away when problems come up in the relationship, retreating and moving away rather than being part of the solution or part of the conversation. What that can do is that can activate the other person in the relationship to enter into somewhat of an attachment panic or a distress or a sense of fear. And so sometimes those patterns, if we aren't consciously aware of these negative loops that we can get stuck in, they often become the nature of the relationship. So I think moving away or shutting down is probably the third. And then the fourth, I would say when we can't regulate our emotions or be able to calm down and to manage our anger or our really anger is a secondary emotion and really acknowledging that it's probably hurt and loneliness and fear and sadness. And so I think the other part is when we can't manage our anger or really honor and express that raw vulnerability that's a lot softer in our communication with our partner and being able to be vulnerable instead. So I would say that those are the four main challenges and then some different ways to shift out of that and improve contact.
When I heard you talking about regulating anger, I'm thinking of a particular couple that I saw, but it happens a lot, where the woman was crying all the time, and he would get so mad at that because she wasn't, it was almost like she used it in a way that if she wasn't doing what he wanted and he'd get angry, she'd start to cry. So so use crying in an unregulated way. And
yeah, I think
the
a big
other thing,
thing
that
is,
I picked up when you said, I'd like you to explain a little more, you talked about the criticism and blaming and communicating in a vulnerable way. So what do you mean by being vulnerable in your communication?
Sure. Well, what I do with a lot of the couples that I see in my office or work with one-on-one is being able to help facilitate and have them start being conscious of what that negative cycle looks like, what those patterns are that first get in the way of being vulnerable, because if we aren't aware of that, then that will keep tripping over those behaviors. So first getting really clear on the negative cycle, and every couple has a different one. So that's the first step. And then the second one is really helping the person slow down and really check in with what's underneath their anger. What am I feeling underneath this anger? What are some of the raw feelings or raw needs that aren't being met right now in my relationship that are getting triggered? And so I think being able to have some emotional intelligence or develop that, or be able to just be patient to sit with yourself to really explore what some of those more vulnerable feelings are. And typically, I would check in with these emotions first. You know, am I feeling hurt? Am I feeling lonely? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling scared? Am I feeling betrayed? Am I feeling shame? And these are the vulnerable feelings. And then being able to connect with that and know where you feel that in your body. And then being able to, from that place, rather than using you statements like, you made me feel lonely or you made me feel sad, that's not vulnerable. What would be vulnerable is say, wow, when you said this, I felt lonely or I felt sad and I felt it in my heart and my heart felt tight and I feel like crying because I want to be close to you. I want to feel connected to you. And when that doesn't happen, I feel this sense of loneliness. So that would be an example of what a vulnerable delivery of your feelings is.
And I heard something when you said that. Angry. You didn't just say the first part, which a lot of people do. You know, I feel sad when you do that. So your partner can start to feel angry, you know, like it's always about you and you're feeling sad. But when you add the part, because I want to be close to you and I want to understand you and I love you, if you add that second part, then the partner can be much more receptive.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little more about what interferes with people talking openly and freely with each other? That was one example. Do you have any others? What kind of things interfere?
Sure. Well, a lot of those other things that I mentioned earlier, such as criticism or shutdown or being defensive, those are some of the communication patterns. I would also say some key terms to be really mindful of is to avoid using the word never or always, because those statements tend to create an overgeneralization and can often lead to a debate. So being conscious that your partner's not always or never a certain way, that would be inaccurate because there are probably exceptions to that rule. So that's one. I think another one is to avoid using the you statement where we focus on the other person and their behaviors and their what they did wrong, and that can make us go into a blaming mode or attack mode, which doesn't tend to work so well. So I think being able to really speak from your heart and your truth, and something that I suggest to couples and even something that I practice myself, is if I'm wanting to stay focused on speaking my truth from my heart, oftentimes I put my hand on my heart to remind myself to do that, to be able to be consciously aware. And what that does, even if everyone on the call just like touches their heart right now, you're going to find that you soften. You're going to find that you're more in touch with yourself. You're also going to be more mindful and present. And that is a beautiful place to start a conversation. Because one, you're in a really healthy place to share, and the other person will be more willing and more receptive just because you've done this energetic, physiological softening. And so I think that that's one of the things that can interfere when we're just mindless and unconscious and just saying things without being really present. So that's something that can help ground us and keep us centered and present. I think
you're connecting with your body just by touching your heart, and instead of just being in your head and intellectual, suddenly your body's involved. And the heart has electrical circuitry that's very powerful.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think another piece is being really conscious of the energy that you bring into the relationship. For example, if you have a lot of stress from your day and you're not being attentive to that, to clearing that out, whether through exercise, through meditation, through doing something throughout the day that helps you release that tension, to bring that negativity into the home can be challenging and problematic, because we are energetic beings that influence each other and we feel each other's energy. And so being responsible for taking out the trash, so to speak, with our energy, we take out the trash when it's filling up or it's starting to smell. We would do the same for this negativity or this stress or this buildup that builds up inside of us, taking responsibility for clearing that out so that it's not being dumped all over the house or onto your partner. I think that that's an important thing, to be responsible.
To associate those negative emotions with trash, something to just get rid of and out of the house.
Yeah, and then it becomes a little bit lighter, because then you can say, well, that is what I do with my trash, and maybe I can be responsible for taking care of and attending to this negativity that's building up from the day or stress, so that it doesn't enter into my home, my sacred space with my partner or my family.
That's beautiful. And do you have a couple more tips?
Let's see. I think that really continuing to work on yourself. I think that when we focus on somebody else being responsible wholeheartedly for our feelings and needs, Obviously, in relationship, there is that overlap where we each need each other and we support one another and love one another and are affectionate towards one another. But if we come from a place of halfness as opposed to wholeness, I think we come into the relationship out of balance. So I think in our communication or even in our interactions, being able to continue to do personal growth, personal development, so that you can be working towards becoming the best version of yourself rather than that stopping once you're in partnership. I think that that ongoing evolution is critical for not only your relationship with yourself, to be able to manage the transitions and stressors that you're going to face, and job transitions, role transitions, identity transitions, hormonal changes, grief and loss patterns, that things are going to be coming into your life that are new, other things that have been in your life are going to leave. So being able to help support yourself through that, have time with friends outside of the relationship, cultivating those other aspects, other areas of your life as well, so that it's not just all that your partner is responsible for all of that, or vice versa, that you feel that you're responsible wholeheartedly for somebody else's happiness. That can be a real danger, because we need to also be proactive on being part of the person, the source that creates happiness for ourselves. I think another thing that gets in the way, and this is probably my last one for now, is thinking of expectations. I think expectations can be toxic. When we have certain expectations, they're basically these definitions of how we expect the other person to be. And if they don't fit into that mold or that way, then we don't accept then and perhaps reject that behavior. So I think being able to be aware when your expectations are interfering in your relationship and preventing you from accepting your partner for who they are and what they are, because when somebody doesn't feel accepted in their relationship, they're not going to feel very good in the relationship. So I think that's part of it. And then also on the other side of that is if there are certain aspects in your relationship that are toxic, right? Like we expect our partner to respect our boundaries and to be verbally kind to us, or we have maybe the expectation of our partner being grounded and responsible, attending to the financial support or contribution. Maybe I don't want my partner to be an addict or using substances, right? So there's those expectations that, or even just standards, really, that we may want in our relationship. And there are some of those things that we need to honor. But I think the expectation piece, when it starts to become a problem, is that if your partner is more introverted or has certain interests that are different from your own, and or you know your partner has a certain way of doing it and you expect them to be like you in a certain way, then it could be that you're not accepting your partner for who they are. And I think it's a balance of also being able to honor that and respect who the other person is too.
And
so I hope that's helpful.
Yes, what's coming to me is unrealistic expectations and unfair expectations, as opposed to legitimate expectations that your partner's going to be respectful and loving and fair with you, that
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a distinction. There's a distinction, for sure.
So
yeah.
You have so much to share, and I'd love you to tell us about the upcoming summit. What made you create it, and what to expect on the summit, how long it is. Just tell some of the details.
Sure. So the summit launched actually on Monday, April 4th. We had our first speaker, which was Katie Hendricks, Katie and Gay Hendricks, and they kicked off the summit, which started on Monday. And then basically every day there are two to one interviews that are released. Each participant is a relationship expert from all over the world. I really wanted to build relationships with relationship experts that could offer different angles and different aspects on improving and helping couples create a relationship that they love. And my inspiration for the summit, one, is because I was curious to connect with all these people, and I wanted to share those conversations and that those nuggets of wisdom with as many people as possible. Ultimately, with the hope that with that information, they improve the quality of their relationship with themselves and with their partner, and then ultimately improve the quality of their home life and their communities at large. And so this is really my inspiration for the summit. And for those of you on the call that are interested in being part of this incredible summit, you can visit createarelationshipyoulove.com to be able to sign up, and you'll join in on the conversations. Each person also gives a free gift, and it lasts for 3 weeks. So it will end from April 4th, and then 3 weeks out from there is when it will end.
Wow, it's exciting. And I also want to say that the link is posted on this page, on the internet page.
Oh, excellent. Great. So, yeah, we have great speakers. We have Katie and Gay Hendricks. We have John Gray. We also have Dr. Sue Johnson, as well as you, Dr. Erica Goodstone, and many, many more, 20 other great relationship experts that are going to be sharing their words of wisdom.
And I love hearing from the different people, because you can get into a pattern where I think I know, and then I hear someone else say something a little bit different, a different angle, different way to look at a relationship, or a different tip. And the other thing that people can get from it is they now know who some of these people are, and they may get their book or contact them or take a workshop. So there's a lot that can come out of it. But I'd like you to share before leaving two things. One is like a final tip for people and any way that they might be able to get in touch with you and what services you may be offering.
Sure. So for the people on the call, I think the biggest takeaways that I'd like you to walk away from this conversation is to really be able to check in with yourself and be able to see, like, what are the areas in my life that are blocking me or standing in my way of becoming or being the best version of myself, and then being able to really identify what that would look like if you were to be fully at that place, that ideal place that you would like to be. And I think the second thing is really identifying what are those patterns in your relationship that you contribute to that negative cycle. What are maybe some of those patterns that your partner does? And maybe even have a dialogue with your partner to be able to see, we keep getting stuck in this negative loop. Let's try to figure out a new way so we can start creating a positive communication cycle with one another, because it really is transformative. I see in my office working one session, two sessions, although to break out of these patterns and to create a new one, it's brief, but it also requires dedication and time, because you've been doing the negative cycle for so long. So probably in 2 months, I see, even in that first session, big shifts. But for people that I work with for 2 months, I just see this incredible transformation in the way that they communicate with one another, in the way that they understand one another, in the way that they connect with one another, that is so different from how they described what was going on prior to, and really being able to heal old hurts that have been stuck under the carpet. So I think people on the call that are interested in connecting with me and taking their relationship to the next level, I would suggest you can visit my website. It's truepotentialcounseling.com. And I have a video blog, and I also have a podcast. And so there's also a freebie that I have on my website, which is a three-part video series, how to avoid the common mistakes many couples make, how to improve and strengthen your emotional and physical bond with your partner. So some really juicy tips on improving chemistry and sex and emotional connection. And then the third video is basically how to improve communication in 10 minutes or less. And so it's a real great starter kit for people that really want to take their relationship to the next level and improve their partnership. So you can find that at truepotentialcounseling.com, as well as all the other resources, free resources that are available to your listeners.
Wow, those three videos alone sound really, really valuable. So, Andrea, it's been absolutely delightful speaking with you, and I'm excited about the summit, and I can't wait to watch many of the other videos that will be out there. So thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. It was an honor, Erica. Thank you.
You're welcome. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and Be Happy and Healthy. And if you're ready for love, sign up for the early list for the 30-Day Love Challenge, which will be starting very soon again. You can click the link at the right column of my website, drericagoodstone.com, to find out more. Bye for now, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.